Glory to God. Didn't the worship team do a great job? Hallelujah. Praise God. I was waiting for Brother Anthony to get that, you know, that, Lord, I'll give you all the glory for all you've given me. Y'all remember that part? You have filled my life till it overflows. Nobody? All I have is yours to use in any way you choose. You are Lord of all, so how can I say no? There's my people. Glory to God. I'm so appreciative of them. They always do such an awesome job. Tonight, particularly, if I'm speaking, I'll ask Sarah if she can look, because she, you know, she helps with singing, and so she has access to what they're singing about. And I was like, what's the song before I come up? I just, you know, I wanted to know ahead of time. And she said it was that one, Yes, Lord, Yes. And the title of my message, I was like, oh, that's perfect. The title of my message is Saying Yes to Jesus. Isn't that good? Yeah, praise God. So it got me excited about that. The topic in particular, I'll be honest with you. I've been in ministry now for, you know, I was preaching before I came to Rhema, and I graduated from Rhema in 2006. Came here in 2004. I was preaching in my local church back home before that, and so I've been ministering for a number of years. And you'd like to think the further along you go, that the Lord will give you more light and revelation. One of those revelations is you still don't know everything like you ought to know it. But I'll just be completely transparent with you. I was struggling a little bit when I was preparing for tonight, because I had so much to say on the topic. I've been thinking about it a lot lately. I've just been meditating on it. Typically, what happens, some of you have heard me say this before, but when the Lord is preparing me for a message, to begin studying a message, I'll just get something that he'll drop down into my heart, and I'll start pondering on that. Sometimes it's a word, sometimes it's a phrase or a sentence, and pretty soon, as I'm praying those things out, he begins to give me scriptures that go along with that, and then that's how I start my study. So oftentimes, I'll almost have the title, or at least I'll know the theme of where I'm going nearly immediately from that. And in this message in particular, Saying Yes to Jesus comes out of that wasn't the title, that wasn't what I got in my heart, but it was something that the Lord spoke to my heart, and it came out of our scripture text for tonight. It's Luke 5, verse 1 through 11. Now, I'm sure you all know this story before you may even know where I'm going before you turn in your Bibles there, but Luke 5, it's the story of Jesus launching the boat out and teaching. He takes the boat from the disciples and uses it and begins to teach. But it says this, beginning with verse 1, it says, "So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he, Jesus, got into the got in the boat, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat that helped them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord.'" But this particular line, when the Lord spoke that to my heart, it was just that line, and I knew immediately what he was talking about, but I just started meditating on this. Nevertheless, at your word. Nevertheless, at your word. And he began to show me some things from that over time, I've seen, you know, in this time that I've been in ministry, I've seen a number of people who have found themselves off track, discouraged, despondent, where they feel like they're just kind of floundering around. When I was preparing, one lady in particular came to mind whose family was just an absolute wreck. She was a single mother. She had had multiple men in her life. One of them was the father to all these children, and he left, and then she got remarried, and that guy left, and she found somebody else, and just absolutely living a most miserable existence. And I was asking her one time as her pastor, in a clear moment when she wasn't fighting with her kids and where she was able to spend some time talking, I just asked her, because she was telling me, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what, you know, if I should be doing something different. Maybe I should just pack up and move. She's asking all these questions. And I said to her, well, has the Lord spoken anything to your heart that you can remember? And she, you know, she got quiet for a minute, and then she said, well, you know, a few years ago, and then she outlined what seemed like the path for her life. You know, I'm not going to give you thus saith, but she said that this was the entire path for her life, or this was just a portion of it. But she started listing out some of the things. And you could tell while she was talking about it, the tears that she'd been crying had dried up. There was a passion in her heart for the thing that she was talking about. And my next question, after she came up for air, she took a breath, I said, what have you done with that? And she put her head down and she said, nothing. And it reminded me of this particular scripture where Jesus is teaching, and then he says to the disciples to let down their nets for a catch. And the first thing that you hear Peter do is he rehearses what they'd already done, the things that they'd already gone through. He says, Master, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. But then he says, but nevertheless, at your word. And the point that I'm making there, the thing that I want you to consider is, what do you do with the word you receive from the Lord? And where have your decisions taken you? Because if we don't like where we've ended up, but the Lord has spoken things to our heart that we know that we're supposed to do and we're not doing it, countless times, again, you know, I didn't tell you how long I'd been in ministry, like that I've been doing it so long to impress you with the number of years that I've been preaching. It was to let you know that what I'm saying to you tonight comes from all of the ministry that I've ever done has always been in some type of pastoral care of some kind. I've always worked in the local church, either serving in helps ministry in some capacity, in youth ministry, in children's ministry. I did nursing home, but that was attached to a local church. It's always been in a local church helping people. And time again, the number of times that I've seen people that make decisions based on something other than the word of the Lord and gotten off track is too many to count. Because all of us have a moment, just like Peter did, where the Lord speaks something to our heart. Maybe we've been in a time of prayer. We've been seeking the Lord about something. Maybe we've been reading our Bible, and the Lord drops something down in our hearts that we know that we've heard from the Lord. But immediately, in the same way that Peter did, we begin to rehearse all the reasons why that won't work. All the reasons why I want to do something else. The number of people that I know who have made moves. When somebody tells me that they're going to make a move, I'm thinking about leaving this and going and doing this. Well, the first thing that I ask them, if they're a believer and if I can speak into their life, I'm like, well, you know, what's the Lord saying to you about that? Because you're going to make your decision based on something, and you have to decide that what you're going to make your decision on has to be what the Lord said. I've seen people who, you know, you talk to them and you say, they say, yeah, I'm moving good at a good church. Things are going well. They've got a good solid foundation around them. Their kids are in a good children's ministry at that church. They've got a great youth group at that church, but they say, yeah, I think I'm moving to, you know, whatever town, fill in the blank. And you're like, well, you know, what's the Lord saying to you about that? My cousin called and the plant that they just opened there, they're hiring and they pay X number of dollars an hour. You know what you just told the enemy and you told me? What you said was, for this dollar amount, I'll say yes to there instead of yes to Jesus. I've just made my decision that, and what you've done is you've just given the enemy the tactic that he will use on you for the duration if you don't break the cycle. Because the moment he wants you to move from this place to that place, all he's got to do is get you a raise. Okay, I thought I saw somebody throwing something. If it's relationship, oh, I'm going to move because this relationship. Or, oh, I'm going to move because there's a better job there. Oh, the market's better. I got real raw with a guy one time. Now, I didn't let on that I was mad at him. And some of you maybe heard me tell this story before. But I didn't let him know I was mad at him. But the Lord had spoken to us to come here. We got a word from the Lord, and we pondered out all those things. We were trying to make our decision in our heads, trying to think about whether or not we should do this. This was years ago when we were coming to Rhema to be students. Sarah was even, we knew we had heard from the Lord. She was in a denominational Bible study, had no idea that I had ordered the old VHS tape, Passage to Purpose. Any of y'all, where are my people at that came here on that Passage to Purpose? We all got tricked. There were mountains in that movie. Ain't no mountains in Oklahoma. All the faith people moved them and surprised us when we got here. But we're trying to make a decision about coming here. And the Lord spoke to her in a Bible study at a denominational church and said, would you move to Oklahoma so that Rob could go to school? Well, then we had a moment that we had to start talking about we were thinking about all these other things. We're taking our kids away from our family. We're going to leave our family. All of our friend groups. We're going to have to go and leave all of this stuff behind to go there. And so I'm talking to this guy because, you know, I'm trying to think it through. I've got two kids and, you know, 2-point-something kids. We hadn't had our last one yet. But I'm talking to this guy. We went to lunch. And so I'm trying to make some conversation to show that I'm a man and I know, you know, I process. I said, so what's the job market like in Oklahoma? And you know what he said to me? He just made me so mad. He said, what do you care? And I thought, well, you nut? I've got kids. What do you mean, what do I care? He said, how many jobs do you need? If the Lord's calling you here, the one you need is all you need. That was a good way to think about it. If the Lord is calling me somewhere, if the Lord is saying to cast my net on the other side, well, there's a boat sinker coming on the other side. But it requires that I would say yes to him in order to move beyond my toil all night, move beyond having to take the kids out of their school and away from their cousins, having to worry about the job market. I have to make a decision that if I get a word from the Lord, that it requires that I do something with it. I have to act on that word. Amen? Acting on God's word will change everything. Every circumstance, there's no circumstance that you're currently facing. This is why it's so important that we get in the Word of God. We spend time praying and listening as the Lord is speaking to us by His Spirit. The reason that it's so important that we commune with the Heavenly Father is because we need a Word from God in our lives so that we can overcome whatever the current obstacle is that we're facing. We need to hear from Him. Because if we can hear from Him, If he speaks to our heart and we know that we've got something that he said to us, well, that's sure footing. That's solid ground for you and I to step on. Amen. Later on, when you see Peter walking on the water and the Lord says, come, he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Well, before he stepped out on the water, you got to think that there was lots of things that were going through his head. He was a man just like you and me. You know what I'm thinking about? If I said, hey, if that's you, Lord, bid me come, still, the first thought, you know the enemy's going to bring to you is, that's water. Have you ever walked on it before? Am I wrong? That's water. Have you ever walked on it before? You're going to get out there and look like a dipstick. This is never going to work for you. But what happened? The Lord spoke and said, come. And he stepped out of the boat. And he didn't get disappointed. Right? Now we understand later, he got his eyes off the Lord and he looked at the wind and the waves. Well, that happens to us too. We can start out good. We can say yes to Jesus, whatever he's calling us to do. But on our way or on the path, we can start looking around at other things. You know, that, I don't know about now. I mean, we got solid Rhema students right now. Glory to God. Where y'all at? All right. But when I was here, the number of people who left in the middle of what they started when I was a student. And I knew their testimonies. I heard their stories. They would tell me about how, man, I was sitting at a park, at a picnic bench, eating my lunch, just reading my Bible. And right down on the inside, the Lord said, Rhema. I had to look it up. I didn't even know what it was. All kinds of testimonies like that. They'll get here on a big testimony because the Lord dropped something in their heart and they said yes to Jesus. And halfway through, it'll get tough. And they act like Jesus didn't know it was at least a 2-year school when they got here. Well, you know, if he's calling me to do something different. Is he? He didn't know it was 2 years? He was calling you, but your gifted calling is with repentance? Oh, yeah, oh, my leg. Oh, you got me, brother, you got me. When you get a word from the Lord, we have to act on the word that we receive from him, but then we have to stand on that and remind ourselves of that so that we can keep pressing forward in our yes. Because all of the things that we're going to receive from him are on the other side of our yes. They're on the other side of the boat. So we cast our net where he said. Isn't that right? You know, when you go further and you look in the scripture, I'm gonna skip over here just a little bit. John chapter 2, you act on God's word. It brings about provision, or it brings about miraculous. On the third day, you know this story. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does that concern? What does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to do, do it. And so they did it. And provision was there. What if they wouldn't have done it? Well, they'd have still been standing there with cotton mouth, wishing they had something to drink. Isn't that right? Why? Because the miraculous provision was on the other side of whatever he said to do. Some of us want to stand on our side of what he said to do. And we don't want to allow the Lord the opportunity to have lordship in a particular area of our lives. We don't want to give over that particular area. And for all kinds of reasons. Well, I'm the man of my house. I make those decisions. And I'm going to take care of our finances. God's a better financier than I am. I don't want that job. I don't want my kids. Now, I try to bless my kids as best I can. I've always tried to be a blessing to them. But I do not want them looking to me as their provider. because my resources as a natural father are limited. But I know somebody who's got a full supply. Isn't that right? So I don't want them looking to me. I want them to hear from God. I want them to follow God. I'd love for all my kids to live right next to me. I've got one that lives here in Tulsa. I've got one that lives in Alabama. I've got one that lives in Kentucky. But I tell you what, if you teach your kids to follow the Lord, they may not live right next to you. You know, but I've got all eternity to spend with my kids. I got them born again. They all got filled with the Holy Ghost. They learned to follow the Lord. So we've got eternity together. So they can go wherever they want to, and we'll just spend time on vacation together right now, right? But it's the other side of our yes that will allow us to receive the things that God has for us. And so the reason that I was having so much difficulty in preparing this is because I didn't know exactly, Lord, what direction am I going to go? I can tell them so many things where I've seen in my life, different things, seasons in my life where you spoke to my heart. And then whatever you said when I stepped out in faith and said yes to what you were calling me to do, it always turned out right. Recently, I was telling the students, and I've mentioned it here before. When I came here, and I know if y'all get tired of telling this story, or hearing me tell this story, I apologize. But it meant so much to me that when I was a student, because there were times in 2005 when God spoke to me about coming back here and helping. I was a student. And I, you know, everybody thought they were going to come back here, I guess. I don't know. You know, you all think you're going to, that's what you think is going to happen. You got this idea. At one time, I told the students the other day, I said I was picking out the name of my TV show and the color of my suit when I was a student. You know, I was going to have a red suit and I wasn't sure what I was going to call it yet, but it was going to be good. We had these all, yeah, you got all these ideas, you know. Well, when I was out here praying and the Lord spoke to my heart and said I'd be back here one day, that's been a long time. At least 35 pounds ago. It's been a while. There were times where I would get off just a little bit because I would get discouraged and I would think, man, maybe that was just me. But then the Lord would, just so gentle, just so loving, just remind me of what he had said, the things that he had showed me over the years. But when the time came and I came back here and the first time that they asked me to speak here, I was behind the curtain there and I was waiting before we were going to come out and I was going to be speaking that night. And I'm back there and I'm just spending some time by myself back there. And I'm like, I couldn't understand how I got here. Now, I love this place, but it wasn't just a particular place. I'm talking about it was what the Lord had spoken in my heart. And so I'm just, how? And it was like all of these times in my life were flashing through my mind all at one time. And the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, there were people, places, and positions you had to leave for my plans. And he showed me wherever we go with God, wherever he's calling us to, is based on a series of yeses that we say to his plan. But not everybody says yes to the plan. Not everybody says, yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, yes to your will and to your ways. Yes, Lord, yes, I'll trust you. Not everybody says, I trust you. Not everybody says, I'm willing to take that next step. But the people who will fulfill the plan of God for their lives are the ones that receive a word from the Lord. And they say, well, you know, if I go there, I'm going to need a job. You know, my kids are going to have a hard time not being around their cousins, Lord. You know, I've always lived in Kentucky and people tell me it's in the same zip code as heaven. My family's there. The jobs I have are there. My friends are there, Lord. Nevertheless, at your word. Nevertheless, you spoke to my heart. And if you spoke to my heart, there's got to be more. There's got to be enough to sink a boat on the other side of that. I'm going with you. I'm sticking with you. I'm saying yes to what you're calling me to. Making that decision changes things. Any limitation you put on your yes to God is the place where the enemy will hold high carnival, holding you back in your life for its entirety. Whatever the area is that we refuse to yield over to him, the enemy will use that to tangle us up. And lots of people get stuck in a place that they've been for years with a plan that was placed on the inside of them that is never birthed because they just couldn't get past this place. I know one person in particular that knew since the inception of Rhema that they were supposed to come here and they were supposed to go to school almost from the beginning. And I know their story because they told it to me. And they just couldn't ever get their wheels under them. The fear of moving and doing something that was going to cause them to pick up their whole family and go to another place, the fear of that thing gripped them so tightly that they could never do it. Lived and died without having ever fulfilled the full plan of God for their life. Because they couldn't say yes. Said yes in lots of other areas. Thank God they did. Born again, certainly. Thoroughly born again. But there's a level of living with God that we can reach on our yes that we'll never reach with our no's. There's a place that you and I can get to that we can rise to a higher level. There are things, I'm convinced, there are evangelists who the call will not leave them, that will never hold their first meeting if they won't say yes to where God's calling them to prepare. There are pastors who will never see the first person in the first pew and unlock the door and have the privilege of greeting as the people come in, that will never have it, but called the pastor because the Lord has said, do this thing. And they said, I know you're telling me that, but this, and so nevertheless, I'm just going to play it safe and stay right here. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. And they leave this world without ever fulfilling the plan of God for their life. But I want you to understand that it's your yes, my yes, is not just for me. There are people that are waiting on the other side of our obedience. There are people that are waiting on you to hear a word from the Lord so that you can help them. And that's why it's so vital that when we hear from God, that we act on what it is that he's saying to us. In my own life, the things that led me to be here right now with you guys, the privileges it is to be able to be here and to be a part of the student's journey and to be a part of Rhema Bible Church, that longing to be here for so long was something that the Lord placed in my heart, and I was excited about coming here. Looking forward to the day that we could all be here like this. And it still excites me. But it wasn't just about me. It was about the opportunities that God wanted to do things for other people through my life, through your life. If you've been saying yes to God, it's because he has got purpose for you, and there are people on the other side of your obedience. Lots of people that need what you've got. Lots of people who need what God has placed on the inside of you as a businessman, as a minister, as a teacher, as a doctor, as an attorney, as a mechanic, as a plumber, as a welder. All of these positions and all of these places, every day we should be listening for the word of the Lord and giving him our yes, because somebody needs us to say yes to what he's calling us to. The length of our entire journey, who we're called to be, needs a yes. And the day to day that you and I are living in requires a yes, because somebody is waiting on the other side of our obedience. If we'll say yes to what God is calling us to, God will call us to even more. If we'll allow God to take us the first step, He'll take us the next one. And as long as we're willing to say yes to his plan and his purpose for our lives, and we make a decision that it doesn't matter that we've toiled all night and we haven't caught anything. It doesn't matter that you're pouring water in there and they're asking for wine. Whatever he says, do, do it. I'm convinced that if the rich young ruler had it over today, he'd probably make a different decision. When the Lord gives you a word, when he speaks something to your heart, the next step is for you and I to ask ourselves, what am I going to do with this word? What am I going to do with it? And the Spirit of God will speak to you every day. Little things in your heart that'll help you be a better father. I'm a much better dad after I've allowed over the years. I'm a much better dad as I've gone along than I was when I started out. God has made me a better dad. He's made me a better husband. Okay, just checking. He's made me a better husband. I don't want to over-preach here, you know. He's made me a better husband. He's made me a better father. He's made me a better employee. Just by following him and saying yes to little tweaks along the way. What do you want me to do? How would you have me to do this? Don't say that. Don't say this. I mean, I can remember, I may have told some of y'all this story. Sometimes you repeat stories, you know? But if they were good the first time, right? There was a guy at one of the churches that I pastored that had a hard personality. Tough to, you know, some people are tougher to love than others. We can love them all, but he was hard to love. And he was hurting some other people in my church. And I was bringing correction, pastoral correction, in a kind way. But his personality type was a real hard one for me to take. And so while I'm bringing correction, I decided I'm going to dump the whole load. And on the inside, and now I'm telling you where I messed up now. On the inside, the whole time, the Holy Spirit's saying, no, no, no. And I just keep, blah, 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 blah. And I was, you know, I was keeping a smile on my face. You know, I'm decent, you know. But I said things that went too far. I went from correction, loving correction, to saying something because I was angry. And I loved his family. I lost the opportunity to reach that family anymore because I hurt him and he pulled him out of my church. Now, I want you to know this. The Lord, he arrested me of it. I was wrong. I knew I was wrong while I was doing it. You ever done something like that? Don't raise your hand. My Lord, don't raise your hand. You knew it was wrong when you were doing it, and you did it anyway. I repented. I went and I knew he liked a particular type of Bible. I had one on my shelf. I went and grabbed that Bible. I put it in a package. I went to his house. I apologized to him. I said, I want to give you a gift. He still never showed back up at my church, but I apologized and I made it right. Now we actually communicate with one another, but it was my fault for hearing from God and harming people when he was trying to keep me from doing that. There are people on the other side of our yes. Actively listen every day on the inside to what God would be saying to you and make decisions to say yes. And as you pursue the plan of God for your life, do the same thing. Actively remind yourself of those things that God spoke to your heart and make a decision for a daily yes to walk with the Lord and step out into the plan and the purpose he has for your life. When we do that, always remember that the miraculous, the boat sinking load, is on the other side of our obedience. When we say yes to him, we'll receive everything that he has for us, everything that he's planned for our lives. Amen. Let me pray for you tonight. Some of y'all are acting like this was a little heavy. I want you to search your own heart tonight. Maybe there's some things that God spoke to you. Maybe it was years ago. But he's told you to do some things, little tweaks, that if you will make a decision that you're going to make those tweaks, it will change whatever that situation is. I want to pray for you and just set your heart. Father God, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, if there are things that where we've missed it, Lord, where you've spoken to our hearts and we rejected the word. We made a decision that the cost was too great. The price was too high. Tonight, we want to correct that. We want to say yes to your plan. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. We want to be who you called us to be, Lord. We say, not our will, but yours be done. Lord, if you'll speak that to us again, if you'll say that to us, speak it clearly to us again by your Spirit. Those things that you've told us to do, where we've missed the mark. We've been stuck in the mud, just waiting in that spot, just killing time. We're going to step it up this year. We're going to be obedient to what you've told us to do. Obedient to the word that you've spoken to our hearts. For every person who may have missed it here right now, I set myself in agreement, Lord, that you're going to help them this year to move further in the plan and the purpose that you have for their lives than ever before. I pray for every mother, every father, every child, every grandparent, every employee, employer, every student, Lord, that we would purpose in our own hearts, not my will, but yours be done. What do you want me to do? And I'll fulfill it. And Lord, the testimonies that we receive of your goodness and your boat sinking load that's on the other side of our obedience, when we hear them, we'll be quick to give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, I want to encourage you. Our altar care team's coming down. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you can make him the Lord of your life right now. If you're watching online, this goes for you too. You guys can come on down if you want. It goes for you too. If you don't know Jesus, the scripture says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus died for your sins and he died for mine. And I wasn't the kind of person that I thought anybody would have died for. But he loved me enough, God loved me enough that he sent his son. If you happen to be watching tonight and you don't know Jesus, you can ask him to come into your life and you'll never be the same. If you're here in this building, it goes the same for you. You need Jesus in your life. You need to rededicate your life. You need a baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's an endowment of power from on high. Or any other thing that you need somebody to agree with you with. When the rest of us leave right now, I want you to come down here. Ladies, if you'd come to these nice ladies, and men, if you'd come to these gentlemen over here, they'll pray with you and for you, and you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Is there anything else? God bless you guys. We love y'all. Be here Sunday. Keep our pastors in prayer. They're going out on conference. Believe God for lives changed. Amen. God bless you.